Hockey Talk Show live with you here on this Thursday, April 18th. And thanks for being here with us on the program. We have got a whole heck of a lot to discuss today on the Hockey Talk Show. We're going to get into all of it, whether you're watching live on YouTube or Facebook, or you're listening to the podcast on all the major networks. TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. However you're here with us today, we certainly do appreciate that. We got a lot of hockey to talk about, and we're going to dive right in. We're talking about the Columbus Blue Jackets, the biggest upset in the modern salary cap era. Is the drama done in Columbus? Remember all that stuff that was going on with Sergei Bobrovsky? We'll get into it. Jarmo Kekäläinen did a lot of talking today. We're going to break down everything he said. What's next for the Tampa Bay Lightning? Do they make any adjustments? What's next for the Pittsburgh Penguins now that they've been swept by the New York Islanders? Todd McClellan is hired by the Kings. Alain Vigneault gets introduced to the Philadelphia media. Sidney Crosby is not going to be playing in the Worlds. What's going on with Svechnikov? Who's going to be the next head coach for the Buffalo Sabres? Do you get the point here? We got a lot of hockey to talk about. Let's go. All right, again, everybody, thank you so much for being here on the Hockey Talk Show. Whether you have a comment or question, let us know in the chat on YouTube or Facebook, and we will try and get to those quite quickly. Rob is excited about those Jackets. Priscilla, welcome into the show. Like getting to the questions. I'm going to try and get to the questions faster on this episode. We, by the way, have a lot to cover and not a whole bunch of time, so I want to make sure we get to everything. But there was a lot of good press availability today, and I'm sure you didn't have time to track it all. And I know, at least in the States, the Robert Mueller report is dominating the news. So let me get you up to speed. That's the whole point of the Hockey Talk Show. That's what we're here for. So let's make that happen for you. All right. Where do we want to start? Let's start with Jarmo and Columbus and what they said. Jarmo said some pretty interesting things. He had some real interesting things to say. I really enjoyed listening to his interview. He was on Sportsnet up in Canada, and he had some telling things to report. A couple things that were interesting to me, at least. Jarmo actually, and general managers, for the most part, never ever talk, right? I mean, that's like their whole spiel. Like, they just, they want to say as little as possible for the amount of time that they have to talk. They just don't want to really, put that out there all that much. But Jarmo had a lot to say. Danny, rest in peace to my bracket. She was too young. Guess what, my friend? I have got some news for you. If you are like the rest of the world and you chose the Tampa Bay Lightning to get past Columbus, you have a second chance coming. Stay tuned. I will tell you what's going on with that. Jarmo said that there were issues in the Columbus Blue Jackets locker room. Whenever you have 23 guys in a locker room, you're going to have some issues. But that they had some issues and that those issues have finally worked themselves out. So that's good news. I've never heard a general manager admit that in the midst of a playoff run. That's kind of new, but I thought it was bold for him to say it. And he put it out there, especially after all that stuff that happened. And I never really found out the full story. And if anybody knows, you can let me know in the chat. I'm okay to, some internet rumor hyperbole in this matter. But I remember Bobrovsky missed a game. He wasn't played. They, instead of them just calling it an injury, they put out this whole thing about him sitting, and it was this whole bizarre twist that clearly was something was going on. So we still don't know who and why. And I mean, this is like drama, and it's going to happen with teams anyway, but I thought it was interesting the way it all went down. And it also sort of fueled those rumors of Bobrovsky not coming back, right? That was the thing. Like, he wasn't coming back. And his game sort of suffered there for a little while midway through the season. I would say in the last little bit of the season there. And then all of a sudden towards the end, he picked it up. And he was really that driving force that helped Columbus get in there towards the end. But there was no doubt about it. Whatever the hell it was that was going on there in that Columbus Blue Jackets locker room was definitely affecting things. And Jarmo today confirmed it in the interview, saying whatever issues that we had, we solved those issues in the locker room. So whatever it was, they were able to get past it, which is good. Because as we all know, some of these things could really take down a locker room, i.e. look at what happened with Ottawa between, Mike Hoffman and Erik Karlsson and the wives and all that stuff that got involved. I remember a number of years ago, there was all that stuff with Patrick Sharp in Chicago, and I forget who it was. I don't want to say the wrong things, but somebody slept with somebody else's wife. It was a whole thing. A lot of that stuff can happen to a lot of National Hockey League teams. We forget these guys are people too. I mean, just think about how many of your coworkers you really get along with at work, and how many you really despise, and how many have done mean things to you. You know, it's just the same exact thing. So they've got past it. It's obviously helped them. It's helped them mold together. And I think the thing that the Tampa series taught us about Columbus, at least, is some of those new guys that came in, Duchesne and what's his name? 18 there. Some of these new guys that came in, Kincaid, they've sort of, this series, I think for them, has been the thing that solidified them into the roster. You know, you look at Foligno and some of these guys that have been there long-term and are going to be there long-term. You know, they it's their home. They want to fight for that. Duchesne doesn't really necessarily have that sort of bond. Now it looks like that bond has kind of taken place. So that's pretty interesting. The other interesting thing he said was that he wanted to give this particular group of the Columbus Blue Jackets one last chance to win a cup. So I think he basically roundabout and in a roundabout way said, Panarin and Bobrovsky are gone. It feels like there's no chance to keep them moving forward. We all kind of knew it. To me, this was a roundabout confirmation way of Yarmo saying we wanted to give this group one last chance. That's interesting to me. I don't think we've ever seen a general manager sort of admit that in a roundabout way, but Yarmo seems to have done that today. He could have said it a lot more differently. He could have played the normal general manager games and didn't really give a straight answer, but he said he went out and acquired all those guys because he wanted to give this particular group one last chance, one last crack at it. I said at the time, you can go back to our trade deadline show, I didn't agree with this. I was surprised Yarmo did this. I wouldn't have done it if I was Yarmo, but this is the hand he played. And he's going to have to live with that. If they wind up getting booted in the second round to Toronto or Boston, whoever advances in that bracket, is it still worth it? I don't know. But he's definitely riding on high right now. I don't want to take Yarmo down. He just took down the President's Trophy winners. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll let him say what he wants to say. The third thing that he said that I thought was super, super interesting was that they said to themselves that they wanted to acquire a center and a winger. That is what they desperately needed. And they went out and they got Duchesne. And they said, and this is not a shock, but again, general managers often don't confirm this. While the season is still going on, you might hear them talk about things that happened 2-3 years ago, but they don't really say while the season is going on. They try to acquire Matt Duchesne from Colorado before he got shipped to Ottawa. And he didn't let on to whatever it was, but obviously the price was a little too high because we saw the price that Ottawa paid for Duchesne, and then we saw the price that Yarmo wound up paying for Duchesne. There's a little bit of a difference there. Still a first-round pick available, but now we know the farther that Columbus gets, the less valuable that pick is going to be for the Ottawa Senators, as if the Ottawa Senators need another reason to feel bad about themselves. But there you go. You got Eugene Melnyk and a pick that's slowly vanishing. I don't even know. If you're an Ottawa Senator fan and you're still watching this, good for you. You obviously really seriously love hockey, or you're a glutton for punishment. Either way, I appreciate the views. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button on Facebook or YouTube or both and share this around on social media. But I thought that was interesting that Yarmo wanted Duchesne originally, felt like the price was too high, didn't go for it, and then this time around went for it. And I wonder if he compromised and paid a little more to Ottawa, or if Pierre Dorion is as horrible of a general manager as I think he is, and he was just able to get him for cheaper. And by the way, I want to put an additive onto that. It's not totally Pierre Dorion's fault. Eugene Melnyk also sucks pretty bad too. So there you go. So that was the takeaway from the Yarmo Kekalainen comments today. I found pretty interesting. Obviously, they're going for it, and we'll see what happens here. But let me go to Danny's thing about the bracket, because I found this to be amazing. Clearly, this is the absolute, obviously, biggest upset in the modern salary cap era. So much so that the National Hockey League has announced that their bracket challenge, which some of you got in on our league in the bracket challenge, the Hockey Talk Show League, Some of you guys joined that. They are this year giving people a second chance to refill out their bracket once the first round is over for the second round. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's how bad this upset is. It is so horrifically bad. So many people's brackets are busted from this that they looked at it and said, oh my God, we can't possibly have this many people out of it. The whole idea of these bracket challenges are to keep fans involved and to keep them engaged, right? So for the first time ever, according to this press release from the National Hockey League that I got, this is what they said. Dramatic outcomes in the first round of the 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs have busted brackets in the bracket challenge. And now, for the first time ever, fans have a fresh start with the Stanley Cup playoffs second chance bracket. At the conclusion of the first round and before the start of the second round, fans will be able to submit a new bracket at nhl.com/bracket with their predictions for the remainder of the 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs. While the grand prize of $100,000 is still available for the initial entrance, fans that submit second chance brackets will vie for a trip for two to the 2019-2020 NHL event of their choice. Once the second round matchups for the 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs are set, fans can start creating and submitting new brackets containing their predictions for the remainder of the postseason online or via the NHL app. I mean, it's the craziest thing ever. It's the craziest thing ever. It is so bad. That was such an upset that they had to alter one of their major promotions. I mean, you just don't see this ever. But it makes me happy because I have Tampa winning the whole damn thing, and now I'll be able to redo this here. Lee, Columbus has had great game plans. Congratulations to them. Tampa needs to learn from it that nothing comes easy. That is so true. And by the way, this is not the first time Tampa's been swept, right? Was it Montreal that swept them a couple of years ago in the playoffs? And then they had a really good comeback year after that. Tampa's had to learn these lessons a couple of times, and it's been a little tough for them. But where does this put the Columbus Blue Jackets? I will say this. Artemi Panarin is playing so unbelievably well. I mean, I just love his game. I love his game so much. I've never seen him so fast. I mean, he is just flying up the ice. I don't know if he's advertising himself for the free agent class of this year or whatever it is. I don't know. People seem to have a foregone conclusion that he's going to the Rangers. I don't know. We'll see. And I also heard rumors that Bobrovsky's going to Florida. I mean, it makes sense if Luongo's going to be a question moving forward, but they look really good. And does this change the odds for them? We'll see. We'll see. You know, momentum, feeling good about yourself. I said this about Washington last year. When Washington beat Pittsburgh, they became a Stanley Cup contender right then and there. It was the confidence they needed by beating a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins to put them in a better spot. Speaking of which, the Islanders are in that situation right now. Not only did they beat the Penguins, but they swept them. Where does this put the confidence of the New York Islanders? And can they get past a Washington Capitals or a Carolina Hurricanes in the second round? Because as we're seeing from most of these playoffs here, you know, nothing is really put in stone. Really, nothing is put in stone. Anything can happen. Absolutely anything can happen. And it could be Carolina just as easy. Now, I picked Washington, and I'm going to stick with that all the way. But as we're seeing here, anything could happen in these playoffs. And that's what makes it so damn fun and exciting, doesn't it? I mean, that's what makes it worth watching. So we'll see where the Carolina and Capitals series goes here. But do the New York Islanders have the confidence now, like Columbus will, to take on their second round opponent, which I don't think anybody really picked either of those guys to do anything big there. Washington with a 2-1 lead in that series. Boston and Toronto are tied at 2-2. By the way, is there a more exciting series right now than the Toronto-Boston series? I don't really get to watch a lot of the Western series because you guys know I do morning radio, so I am going to bed early. I am watching the highlights and the condensed games, but I don't get to see them as much, and it's just not the same. The Winnipeg series, Winnipeg St. Louis is good. Dallas, how about Dallas? 2-2. Can you ask for more as a Stars fan? And Vegas 3-1 against San Jose. Like I said earlier on one of our episodes here, that was a series where I picked San Jose, and I said after game one, maybe, and that could have been a big mistake by me. That could have been a really, really big mistake. Eddie thinks the Islanders can beat the Caps. How about that? Adam with a great question here. Do the Pens move on from Phil Kessel? If so, could he go to my Coyotes? See that he first has a connection with Rick Tocchet. Love the question, Adam. I guess it's possible. There is a Tocchet connection there. Rick is well-liked, very, very well-liked by players, well-liked by a lot of people in the league. I could see him making a vying for that. Absolutely. If it happens or not, I don't know. Here's my thing about the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I've seen a lot of people talking about this after the sweep, and this drives me crazy. By the way, the Islanders are a really good team. Some of the, for lack of a better term, a-hole media that comes from Toronto do not give the New York Islanders the due that they deserve. People forget the Islanders finished with a better record than the Pittsburgh Penguins. People forget that the Islanders' goaltending was way better than Pittsburgh's this year. You're not going to argue that the fact that Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Phil Kessel are better goal scorers than anybody the Islanders have combined. You're not going to get an argument out of me here. But those are three players. And as we can see here, as the Islanders proved, it takes a team to win. And that's what they did. So people are acting shocked, surprised. We need major changes, this and that. I don't think there needs to be major changes with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Nick Kiprios said something the other day, and I could not disagree with Nick Kiprios more. And I respect Nick Kiprios, but he's, again, kind of an a-hole when it comes to some of these things. He's acting like this Pittsburgh Penguins loss was a huge upset. It's not. It's not. And if I'm the Pittsburgh Penguins, I don't make many major changes. I'm going to tell you that right now. The big thing that got my blood boiling yesterday was, should the Pittsburgh Penguins trade Kessel? Should the Pittsburgh Penguins trade Evgeny Malkin? And my answer to both of those questions is absolutely not. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? And the reason why I'm saying that, and I can point to this guy right here, because he just came out and said he's not going to be representing Canada in the Worlds. And when he was asked why, he said he just needs some rest. And that's my point behind all of this. Pittsburgh won two cups in a row. They went to the second round last year and their first round exits this year. How much hockey do you want this team to play? Like, at some point, they're going to lose. At some point, it all catches up to you. Crosby was a guarantee to represent Canada any chance he can get. And now this year he's saying, I just need some time away. I need some time to rest. And it's a good move. And to me, that's the reason why Pittsburgh lost. Not that they were tired, not that they, you know, but look, it all adds up after a little while. You need a break. You don't need to trade Evgeny Malkin. That's not the answer for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The answer is, out of the last 4 years, they have won the Stanley Cup 50% of the time. How much success do you want them to have? Sometimes these things are going to happen, and it's happening to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't think that Tampa needs to make major changes, and I don't think that the Pittsburgh Penguins need to make major changes. And by the way, I understand that you need to give up some value to get some value back in return, but how about trading the garbage heap of crap that surrounds Kessel, Crosby, and Malkin? Forget those guys. Look at the rest of this team. I mean, Nick Bjugstad is okay, but he's a $4.1 million player. Okay? You have Jared McCann. You have Zach Aston-Reese. You have Dominic Simon. You have Matt Cohen. Like, take a look at the rest of the team. If you want to analyze something, analyze those guys. Malkin, Crosby, and Kessel is not the problem. The problem is Aston-Reese, Jared McCann, Dominic Simon. I was going to say Jake Guentzel is one of those guys in the lower end of the group that's making under $1 million that is well worth the price of admission. I mean, he's a $6 million player next year, but that's besides the point. But take a look at that. Take a look at your defense, because I think Brian Dumoulin had a terrible series, an absolutely terrible series. Olli Maatta had a terrible series. You want to start fixing things on the Pittsburgh Penguins? Start there. Don't start with Evgeny Malkin. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, maybe we need a break. Maybe we need to change things. Absolutely not. The structure of the Pittsburgh Penguins is what the rest of the league has built themselves around. And you could point to any team. Chicago, right? With Taze Kane. The Caps with Kuznetsov, Ovechkin. Colorado. Colorado with McKinnon and Landeskog. I mean, they've all tried to put those two guys into place and build around them. They've all copied the Pittsburgh formula. And now these quote-unquote so-called hockey expert analysts, these hockey expert analysts want to sit there and go, maybe trade Evgeny Malkin. I get that saying, the Pens might trade Evgeny Malkin, or should the Pens trade Evgeny Malkin? I understand that gets a lot of clicks and attention and engagement. That's not the game we play here on the Hockey Talk Show. We talk logic. We don't care so much about clicks. Although it would be nice if you hit the thumbs up on these videos right now and hit that share button. And also rated and reviewed us on the Apple Podcast. That would be nice. I'm not going to argue with that. But I'm not going to say crazy stuff here just so you guys will do those things. Because it's absurd. The notion of trading Evgeny Malkin away is crazy. There's only one scenario in which you do that, is that when he walks into your office and he says, trade me. I don't want to play here anymore. Now, that may happen one day, but that's the only way you trade a player like that. That is the only way. Eddie with a good question. Did he ask to leave Pittsburgh? From what I can tell, from what general managers have said and former general managers, he has never been offered in the room. Meaning, Pittsburgh has never called up another general manager and said, what would you give me for Evgeny Malkin? It's never happened. So, take that for what you will. Look, teams lose. The New York Islanders are built better from start to finish. Period. End of sentence. I know it's easy to call the Islanders the laughingstock. I know it's easy to call the Carolina Hurricanes the laughingstock. I know it's easy to call the Ottawa Senators the laughingstock. Okay, that last one is good. That one makes a lot of sense. But the other two, not so much anymore. And you got to get with the times. You know what I'm saying? You've got to get with the times. Go look at the arena down there in Carolina. Those games are very well attended. You know, everybody wants to poke fun at the Islanders for Tavares leaving and they're splitting arenas. Ask the Pittsburgh Penguins what they think of the New York Islanders, okay? Get with the times today. Know what's happening now, not what we laughed at 10 years ago. Richard, Trotz came in and the players bought into his system and shut teams down. Not to mention the Pens are getting up there in age. That's true. That's why it goes to what I said. They played a lot of hockey. Again, when I look back at the last 4 years and who won the Stanley Cup, Pens have won 50% of the time. 50% of the Stanley Cups in the last 4 years, they have won. So, you know, it is a combination of the Islanders were better, the system was better, team game better, and the Penguins have played a lot of hockey lately. A lot of hockey lately. So to answer your question, who should the Penguins trade? No. I do like the idea of Kessel going to Arizona, though. And I'll tell you why. I love the turnaround move of Arizona. I feel like Arizona is in a great place to make that turn next year. And they have a lot of money. And they're going to be one of the teams that I look at. Again, you have an incredible free agency class coming up here. Not only Panarin and Bobrovsky, like we said, but a lot of RFAs. And Arizona is going to be one of those teams to look at when you go, Patrick Laine, right? All these guys. You can go up and down the list of RFAs for this year. Who's going to be available to slide a big, fat offer sheet across the table? And Arizona is going to be one of those teams. Now, financially, they've been challenged, of course, obviously. But they're going to be one of the, if they have the money to commit, they're going to commit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Todd McClellan hired by the Los Angeles Kings to be their next coach. Good move. McClellan's a good coach. I knew he was going to land in one of these jobs. It seemed to be a little bit of a musical chairs this year as far as the coaching staff go. We kind of knew Coach Q would land. We knew that Alain Vigneault would probably land after taking a year off. By the way, I watched the Alain Vigneault press conference today. He was introduced to the Philadelphia media. Looking a little thin, looking a little slender there, that Alain Vigneault. Looks like he's been working out a bit. He looked like he was in good spirits. I think he's going to have a fair amount of success there. One of the things I liked about Alain Vigneault in this press conference is he admitted to being wrong in the past and mishandling young players. He said, because that was what everybody asked him, because he was terrible at it in Vancouver and he was not that great at it in New York. But he said, look, I can be better. I can be better at managing young players. But he also did say this. He goes, not for nothing, but we didn't have a lot of big young players coming up in both of those organizations. And he pointed out that in Vancouver, no young players of his really made it. Only one did, and he was dealing with some personal issues at the time. The other one retired at 26, I think he said. He didn't name who, but he was just kind of being, talking in generals. And then he said the Rangers didn't have anybody young pressing through their lineup either. And I had to go back and think about it, and he was kind of right. I couldn't really think of anybody off the top of my head. I mean, I'm sure you could point to a couple of young guys that he went to, with some veterans over the young guys. But again, I think his point was, if you're young and you want to make my roster, you better damn well earn it, because he's not going to just give it to you because you're flashy. You know what I mean? So I thought that was pretty interesting. But, Todd McClellan goes here. The only thing that worries me is, out of the teams that are struggling, that are premier teams, the Los Angeles Kings worry me in a great deal. I mean, you talk about teams getting older. That's the Kings, man. Oh, my God. A lot of players that are long in the tooth on this franchise. I don't know what's more of a challenge, the Kings or the Edmonton Oilers, because the Oilers are an absolute train wreck nightmare mess. But at least you have Connor McDavid. You know, at the end of the day, it feels nice to have 97 and 29 in your lineup. For the Kings, I'm not so sure. But that's not to say we can sneeze at Drew Doughty. And Jonathan Quick is still a nice goaltender. So all the luck in the world to Todd McClellan. We'll look to see what he winds up doing here moving forward. But he has definitely taken a big step there. I want to talk about Buffalo's coaching situation, then we're going to wrap up. So any last minute questions you got, shoot them on over to us here on the Hockey Talk Show. Don't forget, you can find everything we do over at the Hockey Talk Show's website, hockeytalkshow.com. Richard, Panarin and Barzal would be a sweet duo to build around. I often think that one of the more underlooked situations for Artemi Panarin, because everybody just thinks he's going to go to the Rangers, would be to go to the Islanders. I don't know why people aren't talking about this more. I mean, I do know why, a couple of reasons why. One, everybody's 45 years behind the times on the Islanders, and they think that they're terrible. Nobody was talking about Panarin joining the team after Tavares left the team, so I get that part of it. But now that you look at where these things have flushed out, the reason why Panarin to the Rangers was a big rumor was because his wife is a model or something. I don't know, whatever. But he wanted to go to a major league market where there is opportunity, or his wife's an actress. I forget what it is. Actress or model or something. Needed to be in a big city. So right away, L.A. and New York rise to the top. And I think they said the East. I think he wanted to be in the East. To me, that makes the Devils and the Islanders just as valuable to him as the other teams. Because I understand wanting to go to the Rangers. Look, I'm not under, even though the new Islander ownership has done really well and they got some money there and it's a good situation now, there is not an organization more first class than the New York Rangers, okay? Toronto, New York, Montreal. I mean, these are organizations that know how to treat players. I mean, if you want the finest things in life, these are the teams that you're going to go to. So it really kind of makes sense to put the Rangers up there at number one. But players also like to win. Does Panarin really want to sit around the New York Rangers and their rebuild for the next couple of years? Maybe he does. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying the talk of the Islanders being a player in this situation has to start rising to the top a little bit here, because you look at where they're going and the success that they've had and the fact that they don't have a score, and a Panarin makes sense. Now, to play the other side of that and play devil's advocate a little bit here, They just got wind of one pretty boy superstar in John Tavares. Do you want to bring that sort of elite player back into the locker room and mess with your chemistry? Richard, I'll put that question back to you. Do you want to do that? Because I'm going to sit back and think about it. I'm going to sit back there and I'm going to think about, do I really want to do this? Or do I want to continue to try and develop Josh Hosang and let him be that guy? Do I want to give an opportunity this year to Kiefer Bellows and see if he could be that guy? Because they're not as sexy as a Artemi Panarin July 1st signing, but I like Kiefer Bellows' game in a big way. And we all know the skill that Joshua Hosang has. And also, by the way, the Islanders are not a cap crunch team, but when you look at it, their final cap space for this year was just under $10 million. And they've got some guys to sign next year. Brock Nelson, Anders Lee, Jordan Eberle, Valtteri Filppula, Anthony Beauvillier. They've got some money to commit to their guys. That's six guys. I don't even think I named Robin Leonard if they wind up keeping him. And if they wind up keeping him, that's seven. Their defense is all locked up for next year. So seven guys that are very deserving of a raise. Seven guys can easily chip away at $10 million. If you give each of them $1 million, that's $7 million, you know, $1 million raise, that's $7 million. That's it right there. And by the way, Leonard was making 1.5 this year. He's definitely getting more than $1 million raise for next year. Anders Lee is at 3.7. He's easily a $7-8 million player under the current salary structure. So, you know, you got to pay some guys. An Artemi Panarin may not be as easy to get as one would think. Richard, they need help scoring. PP is horrible. I'm not going to argue with you there, my friend. I worry about the chemistry of the room, but you make a damn good point. Goals on the power play would also be nice. That would also be nice. Svechnikov. Oh my God, did this poor kid get knocked out? He got knocked the expletive out. My man Ovi just cold cocked this guy. If you didn't see the Svechnikov Ovi fight, Google it right now. Watch it. It was ridiculous. Ovi took him to task. So he is uncertain to return for the rest of the series. By the way, Nazem Kadri getting suspended for the rest of the series, completely warranted. Thought it was a good move by the NHL. It wasn't a game number, like two games or three games. They were like, you know what, rest of the series. Smart move by the NHL. Good for them. Thought it was a good call. Good call by player development. Last thing I want to leave you with here is the odds that are given, and I don't know how official these are, of who the next coach for the Buffalo Sabres is going to be as we watch this coaching carousel go around here. I put Scott Gordon. I put Jack Capuano with some of the assistants that have a possibility of making that jump. But here's this list. This Joe DiBiase guy has put together this list of who he thinks might be available or might become available for the Buffalo Sabres and put the odds together and everything else right here. Take a look at this. He's got Chris Taylor. He's got Ralph Kruger, I guess, is the best ones. The third one on the list is interesting to me, Lindy Ruff. How about that? You think Lindy Ruff would leave the Rangers as an assistant and make his way back up to Buffalo? I guess it's possible. Sheldon Keefe, Jacques Martin, Guy Boucher is an interesting one. As the coaching carousel turns, does he go from Ottawa to the Buffalo Sabres? Mike Yeo, again, another one of those guys that's out there. Well, Todd McClellan, we could take off the list. I thought this was hilarious. He put John Cooper on there. John Cooper's not getting fired. Okay? Nor is Mike Sullivan down in Pittsburgh. You don't make drastic changes when it comes to these situations. He's got Daryl Sutter on the list, Bruce Boudreau, Steve Ott, Stu Barnes, Mike Greer, Jason Pominville, which I thought was pretty hilarious, and Rob Ray, too. I think you can honestly throw a Bob Bugner on this list. I could see a Bob Bugner going on up there, coming off of Florida. He's had some good opportunities. He needs that second chance. He wasn't horrible in Florida. The worst thing that happened to Bob Bugner in Florida was Joel Quenneville became available. Because if Quenneville's not available, I think Bob Bugner is the coach of this team next year moving forward. You know what I'm saying? I think Bob Bugner is still there, doesn't get fired if Q's not available. We'll keep our eye on that, but we assume that that's going to be the next big hiring here in the National Hockey League. I will leave you there. Fun little show here on the Thursday. We'll be back again. I'm not sure if we can sneak one in tomorrow, but maybe Sunday. Nah, Sunday's Easter. Probably Monday. We'll probably be back with you here Monday on the show. Again, make sure you guys like and subscribe on YouTube. Hit that bell to get notifications. Make sure on Facebook you go to the Hockey Talk Show page and put your little mouse over that follow button and hit see posts first. If you're not getting notifications on Facebook, you could miss a show when we go live. We wouldn't want you to do that. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Hockey Talk Show everywhere. And of course, as we always say, the podcast is available all the way around. Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify. We are literally everywhere. And by the way, the podcast does really well for us. Actually does better than our live stream numbers. I think that's because I'm hard to look at, but I can't really nail it down for sure. But we do actually bring in the most revenue via the podcast. So even if you love the show and you saw it here live already, go click on that podcast link. Listen to the first 30, 40 seconds of the show and then go out about your business. It helps. It puts a little money in our pocket, and we do appreciate that. To Ron, Priscilla, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Eddie, Liz, everybody in the chats here today. Richard, Deirdre. I'm going to leave Deirdre with the last words here. Last words for Deirdre. God, Isles in Washington. That would be thrilling. It really would. Trotz's old team versus Trotz's new team. I mean, it would be practically Trotz coaching against himself because Todd Reirden has done nothing new to the Washington Capitals system. So it would be Trotz versus Trotz. That would be interesting to see. We'll see. We'll find out. We'll find out what's going down because we got a bunch of games coming, right? What's the schedule for tonight? Let's see here. Tonight, we don't have, I'll tell you, I get a little sad when it's not Boston-Toronto because I love watching that series. Tonight, Carolina and Washington from Carolina. Game starts at 7 o'clock there. 2-1 lead for the Caps. Can Carolina tie it tonight? I don't know. I don't know if I want to make this prediction. I've been wrong about a couple lately. St. Louis and Winnipeg from the Peg. 8:30 there. And Vegas can close it out tonight in San Jose. San Jose seems like they just don't have the magic either. A lot of teams sort of lost their mojo in the first round, right? Tampa, Pittsburgh, not having that swagger. Calgary seems like they're losing that swagger right now. Down 3-1 to Colorado. I mean, it could be lights out for San Jose tonight. We'll see if Vegas closes it out. Look for my man Lou at VGK Coverage. He does some live streams of the game, live reaction shows. Those are always fun to watch with him. So check him out for that. Give me Carolina at home tonight to even up the series. Give me Winnipeg at home tonight to take a 3-2 series lead. I think this will go to 7 because I picked St. Louis. And you know what? Give me San Jose to stay in this series tonight. I'm going to go with San Jose. I think they make it 3-2 tonight. All right, that's it for me.